Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. When the Bible talks about the gospel, what in the world is the gospel? Because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel in Romans 1. For it, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, comes from the old English word, God's spell. When Jesus takes over your life, God puts a spell on your life, changes you. It's a supernatural, mystical spell from the Holy Spirit. The gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the dunamis, the power of God and the salvation, the dynamite of God. Dunamis is the Greek word for power. So what is the gospel? Let's read this together. The risen Christ, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand. In other words, you've received Christ, now you're walking in Him, you're standing in Him. And we're standing by faith. That's the theme of our time together today. Number two, by which you're also saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Four, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Fourth, that He was buried, 1 Corinthians 15:4, that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. And after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Last of all He was seen by me, also as one born out of due time. For I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that may be where all of us are today. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Put up with me, Lord. Thank you. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I worked. I worked hard for Jesus. I had faith, but I worked hard. I labored more abundantly than they all. If you had killed Christians, you'd have such a guilt trip. You'd labor like crazy for God once you got to know Him. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So it wasn't me. I'm inadequate, Paul said. It was the grace of God. And as I meet a lot of the Calvary Chapel pastors around Southern California, I mean, you talk about bad boys before they came to Christ. By the grace of God, all they can say is, I am what I am. And I labored more abundantly than they all because Jesus is real. And whenever in Southern California, Billy Graham was here in 1985, and people would come forward and receive Christ, and everybody would clap if you were at the Anaheim Stadium then. Billy Graham had never heard that, and he thought people were being irreverent. And all they were doing was they're saying, you know, I know what this means. Once I was lost, but now I'm saved. Once I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. Though inadequate, I'm a saint. Now, they were just so cheerful because they could see hell being depleted and heaven being added to. So the Southern California site and around the nation, people believe that the Southern California Christians are the most overt, committed Christians in the nation because there's so much other things that could draw you away. So what is the gospel? What is the gospel? This is important to us because God said if we will share the gospel with other people, it's the gospel that saves. It's not my testimony. It's not your testimony that saves. Our testimony, the truth of what God has done in our lives, the testament to what Christ has done in your life, John, Mary, Bill, Sue, testament is important because it begs the question of the truth of the gospel. But it's the gospel that saves. So, Jesus Christ is the gospel. It's the story of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible said that He was prophesied. He was prophesied. He came by virgin birth. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for you and me. He was resurrected. He's coming again. Oh, He promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's coming again. That's the urgency that we sense today. He's coming again and soon. Therefore, you, the unsaved, must receive him. Now, that's the gospel. So, my job, your job, when we're talking to someone about the gospel, is to tell the story. This is what saves. There's something supernatural about this truth. Truth. Truth is from God. Truth penetrates the human heart. Truth drives us from sin to sanctification and salvation, or salvation and sanctification. So here's the gospel. This is good news. Now, no offense meant to our brothers of other faiths, but they don't have this good news. This is the living gospel, the living Christ, who changes lives, who takes the meth lab producer and distributor, turns him around, and when he says Jesus, he knows what Christ has done for him. This takes the guy who was once a murderer or in prison and says, look, I was once this way, but now, this takes the Apostle Paul, who could hold the cloaks of the man who stoned Stephen to death, and say, I was once like that. I was a persecutor of the church. But now I'm saved. This Jesus is real. Or whenever gospel. Can you see the black better? Okay. So the gospel is Jesus Christ. Help me to rewrite it. Have you got it? Okay. The gospel is Jesus Christ. I was speaking in Peru many, many years ago in a big Christian Missionary Alliance church, about 3,000 people. And we were just teaching the Christian Life and Witness courses prior to the Billy Graham Crusade or Franklin Graham Crusade down there. And I was teaching people how to share their testimony and how to share the gospel, because the testimony is important. The testimony is important because it begs the question of the truth of the gospel. And so I wanted people to understand that you can actually share your testimony in 3 minutes. A lot of times you say, well, I couldn't share the gospel. I couldn't tell what Christ has done in my life because I only had a couple of minutes. Well, you can do it in 3 minutes. All you have to remember, it's real simple, really simple, is when, the same old W's, when, who, what, where, and why. You can even leave out a couple of them and still give a good testimony. I came to Christ when I was 8 years old. My mother read me the Bible every night, every night. She sat in the bed with the big family Bible and read my sister and me the Bible every night. Usually the stories. What did she use? She used the Word of God. Where? In our home every night. So when I was 8 years old, I came to Christ. Why? Because at a, quote, evangelistic meeting called Revival in the South, Brother Gann, who was the visiting evangelist, he's a big Welshman, he just said, how many of you in this room want to follow Christ the rest of your lives? Love him that much. Man, I just did like this. And my mother tried to grab me, and I'm going toward the front, and you didn't go forward when you're 8 years old. But anyway, it was real. So that's my testimony. And I'm in this meeting in Peru, and I had everybody just write out the answers to these really quickly. And then I had them time each other, 3 minutes each, and everybody's going, well, yeah, you could actually do this in 3 minutes. And it could have an impact if you use just one or two verses with it, which is what we're talking about today. For example, John 3:16. We had a crusade years ago, and after the crusade, we had sent all the names of the new believers to the churches, and the churches were putting together visitation teams and then going out to the unsaved using the people who had known Christ for a long time and mixing in some of the new believers, and they were learning how to share their faith, the new believers, with others. Well, one night, this guy went, and he was supposed to be part of a 3-man team. The other two who were mature Christians or maturing Christians didn't show up, and he's all by himself. And whenever the man, the layman in charge of the group, said, you want to go with another group or you want to go home? He said, no, I want to go by myself. Really? He said, yeah. So he went out, and he was the only man that night that led anybody to Christ. And he's a brand new Christian. Why? He gave his testimony because he was a brand new Christian. And it was very, very, very real to him. And he was passionate of what had happened in his own life immediately. But the only scripture he knew, and how many of you think when you share your faith, you've got to use a bunch of scripture? He only knew one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And at a brand new Christian, 2 weeks old, he just explained that as best he could and said, I was a whosoever, you can be a whosoever, and led people to Christ. So the power of the gospel doesn't have to be complicated. And your testimony can really help. So we were down in Peru in this church, 3,000 people. I had people write their testimony, share their testimonies with each other. We're timing it 3 minutes, 3 minutes, not to make it perfunctory, but just to say it can be done. It can be done. I have a friend who was Campus Crusade for Christ, yes. This guy won tons of folks to Christ in donut shops. He would pop into a donut shop and he would go up to the counter, you know, the little round stool, sit at the counter. And he had gotten his testimony down to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Now, you think that sounds silly, but when you're drinking a cup of coffee and eating a fast donut, that's about all the time you got. And he would go in and sit down by somebody, and he had this little saying. He would say, do you want to know the worst thing that ever happened to me? Now, everybody in the world wants to know the worst thing that ever happened to you because maybe it's worse than what I'm going through. If you go sit down by someone and say, would you like to know the best thing that ever happened to me? They go, nah, not interested. But if you say, do you want to know the worst thing? And they go, sure, maybe I'll feel better after you tell me. So he would just go, when I was 16, you know, my family was good. I was 17. They had a divorce. I went into depression. And he would just tell this in 2 minutes. But the thing that brought me out of depression was Jesus. And he would hit him with Jesus real fast, changed my life, and I know he can change yours. And he was winning guys to Christ just in 2 minutes. It was an amazing thing. I got to know this guy. So we did this little testimony deal, and I thought, well, I'm going to have about five of these in the audience come up and share their testimony, and I'll time them. We'll hear them, all of us, and we can just make sure it happens. It can do it. You can do it in 3 minutes. So they came up. And they shared their testimony. I just said, hey, five first people who want to come up, come on up. So I've got a previous alcoholic. I've got a previous prostitute. I've got a guy that was addicted to something else. I've forgotten what it was. I got a guy that had been in prison. Jesus had saved him in prison. And this one I haven't a clue. I've forgotten. So they're up there and they give their testimonies. And a young lad about halfway back in the audience, about 20 probably, raised his hands, and he said, excuse me, this is all through interpreting because I don't speak Spanish, sadly. I don't even speak English, really. And he said, sir, I have a question. Mind you, I'm through an interpreter. So I said, okay, what's your question? And he said, I don't have a testimony. He said, I don't have one. Da-da. And I'm thinking, this is interesting. We've been going in this class. It was an all-day class. We've been going for several hours. And he's been sitting here, but he doesn't have a testimony. So I said, are you saying you never came to Christ? He said, no, I came to Christ when I was 9 years old. But I've never been an alcoholic, a prostitute. I've never been addicted. I've never been in prison. So I don't have a story. I don't have a testimony. Well, remind you, this is through an interpreter. So I played dumb, which is not very hard. And I just said, as if I didn't understand what the interpreter said to me in English. I said, so tell me, when did you have a problem with alcohol? He said, you don't understand. I said, I've never had a problem with alcohol. I came to Christ when I was 9 years old. I said, oh, forgive me, I misunderstood. You were a male prostitute? How did that work out? He said, sir, I've never been a male prostitute. I didn't say that. Now, I'm here. I'm having a good time. This is fun. And I said, okay, so you said you came to Christ when you were 9 years old. Did you have any other addictions than the ones I mentioned? So he's thinking I'm a complete idiot or the interpreter's really bad. And he said, I said I came to Christ when I was 9 years old. I've never had a problem with any of that stuff. Then I said, so you got rid of all these problems in prison. Is that correct? And he was just, by this time, you know how young people are, he was like mad at me. And he said, I came to Christ when I was 9 years old. I've never had any of those problems. And I went, okay, now everybody stop and think. And I still had the five people on the platform. How many of you would trade your testimony, the alcoholic previously, the prostitute, it was a woman, addiction previously, the prison previously, whatever the other one was. How many of you would trade your testimony for his testimony? Man, all five hands went up. 9 years old. The boy's never been into any of this stuff. And I said, here's the common denominator. I don't want to lead you astray. There is a common denominator here. And that common denominator is, it does not matter what you've done, how old you are, when you come to Christ, if you are in His Word and follow Him and let your life be guided by Him daily, He will what? Keep you. Has He kept you? And I turned to the alcoholic previously. Has He kept you? Yes. And I asked when. It was in like his 30s. Prostitute, has He kept you? Yes. 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 Isn't it wonderful that Jesus keeps us? He keeps us. I said to the young man, Guy, you've got a marvelous testimony. You came to Christ at 9 years old, and God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has kept you from all this stuff in the world. But all the people who've been caught up in the world and all this stuff, now they're kept by Jesus too. So this is the gospel. This is what the gospel does. Whether you're 9 years old, and thank God for Child Evangelism Fellowship and every other ministry in the church working like this church with children, the gospel is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and God, prophesied, came, lived, died, resurrected, promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's coming again. You must receive Him. And when you receive Him, guess what? It works. Okay? Now, I've got a little video I want to show you that came from England. So listen very carefully. You think my accent's tough. But what this guy has done, he's Youth for Christ. He went around England just saying to people, I'm going to say some words, and whatever word comes to mind, the first thing you think of, just say it. So he'll say a bunch of different words, and he'll throw in Jesus, and then they'll respond. And then eventually they edited out all the other pieces, and he's just saying Jesus. But he did say all the other words. And I want you to watch what these people say, and we'll talk about it. But pay particular attention. You may actually miss some of the responses, because the first thing he asks is, what laundry detergent do you use? And one guy says, does. Well, we don't have does here. It sounds like duh, but we don't have does here. And then the second question he asks is, Marmite or peanut butter? Peanut butter we know. Marmite is that terrible stuff made out of yeast that is the most bitter junk in the world. And Australians use it. New Zealanders use it. UK use it. They put it on the bread in the morning, their toast. And they like this stuff. I mean, it's worse than grits. It's really bad. So you won't understand it all. But listen to what they say about Jesus.
What washing powder does your family use?
Oh, Dad's
thing. Peanut butter or Marmite?
Peanut butter.
Jesus.
What about him?
Skiing or snowboarding?
Snowboarding.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Cheers.
Dad.
Peanut butter or Marmite?
Marmite.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Church.
Jesus.
I love him.
Jesus.
God.
Jesus.
And? Christ.
Christ.
It's a legend.
Jesus.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
Who was that?
Christ.
Christ. Christ.
Jesus.
in the sky.
Christ.
What do you mean, Jesus?
You're not going to repeat it.
Jesus.
No.
No.
Mary.
Yes.
What?
That's a tough place to witness. Thank God some of them said Christ. And one woman said, I love him. And the man said, yes, they were older. And a young girl goes, what? Another one says, I can't repeat it. Another one, I don't know, he looked like some old rock star, said, a legend. So the Brits, Roy Crayon is the Youth for Christ president in England. He's a really powerful witness for Jesus. He's an old footballer. And Roy struggled with how to share Christ to the people of the UK because they just don't relate to four spiritual laws or the little tracts like it called Steps to Peace with God. And they had to try something different. And it's so good and it's so easy. What they started doing in London, and they put that little video together to help us understand what they were doing. They started the three-story method, they call it. Now, remember, this is Brit, but it's a good way to think about it. Number one, as you're talking to someone about Christ, if God opens that opportunity, it could be someone at work, in your family. It could be done in one conversation, but it could last over months. Could. You could have one meeting, and then you have another meeting. But the first thing you ask is, what is your story? Everybody loves to tell about themselves. The problem we have often in witnessing is we just jump right into our testimony or the gospel. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's got people ready. I mean, seriously ready. And you have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. I mean, I've had the privilege of just jumping right into the gospel with people and seeing them come to Christ because the Holy Spirit has done these pieces and he's just or she's just ready. That's what happens at a Greg Laurie festival or crusade and a Billy Graham crusade or a Franklin Graham festival. Everybody's prayed for their friends. They've cultivated their friends for Christ. They've done friend to friend or Operation Andrew. John 1:40-42, Andrew met Christ. First thing he did, he got his brother, brought him to Jesus, like we've heard this morning. But people love to tell their story. The second one is you ask the person, what is your story? And then you give them my story. Now, in the middle of you're giving them your life, people love, first of all, to tell their story, and they then might want to hear yours. And then the third thing is his story, Jesus, his story. Now, the world we've come from in my generation to now, we've come from a very analytical, scientific world to a world that's totally relational. Facebook, some of the other interactive things that young people do. They just love relationships. That's what life is all about. So this gospel thing, this truth, is all about relationship with Jesus. Your testimony is about your relationship with Jesus. So this is perfect for young people today. Young people today, for example, statistically, relate better to their grandparents than they do to their parents. Why? Because they have more time with their grandparents than they do with their parents. Parents are too busy. They're working way more than we used to. For example, 64%+ of women, depending on the statistic you read, work out of the home. Now, they also work in the home. Don't get me wrong. A lady that stays at home works too. And the lady that works outside the home, the husband and wife both try to pick up the pieces if they're a good family and do the work of the home. But since 1952, the money earned average by the woman who works outside the home basically pays the extra taxes that have come on us since 1952. It's not really much more income. Actually, none, unless she makes a whole lot of money. Now, what's important about this is the Brits are, they're 20 years beyond us in secularization. And with Islam hitting them now, it's even worse. So they went to the three-story method, the three-story method, because when you start telling people immediately in Britain about the gospel, they just shut you down. I mean, you heard the one kid said, "What is that? I can't repeat it." You'll get nowhere. But if you can say, if you get to a point where you say to someone at work, at home, you get to know a guy at the golf course, you're playing tennis, you're at the beach, whatever you do, "Hey, tell me about your life." People love to do that. And then they're open. If you've let them invest in you with their story, then they'll let you tell them your story. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot tell your story without telling his story. It's just part of your life. It flows. 8 years old, 9 years old, I came to Christ. I was a prostitute. I'm no longer a prostitute. This changed my life. I was addicted to this or that. And man, in a flash, Jesus changed my life. You can't believe what I was like. Now I love Jesus. He's real. It's not some religion. It's not a church. It's not a thing called Christianity. It's a live relationship. So the good news is what saves. So when you get down to his story, you weave in your story, and then you put in the gospel, and that saves. Well, how in the world can I get in the gospel? I don't know enough scripture to get in the gospel. Well, God never said you had to give verse and chapter. He just said, tell the truth. And the truth is the gospel. And you can tell the gospel without ever even having the right verse or passage if you don't know. Mike Gebauer was the director of the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington, when it opened. Mike Gebauer had a Roman Catholic background, and he was a womanizer. He wouldn't mind my saying this because he's a dear brother today. He had a lot of other little things that guys do. And I got to where I really liked Mike Gebauer. So one day I thought, he probably won't do this, but let's go to lunch. I thought he'd go to lunch. But when we're at lunch at Seaforts overlooking the harbor there in Tacoma, I pulled out a Steps, Peace with God. Now, he's an older man, so he likes the analytical stuff. He's not totally relational like the young people today. And I said, "Mike, here's a little Bible study." I called it a Bible study. "That we use at Billy Graham about how to know God. Could I just kind of go through this with you and show you?" He said, "Sure." I was shocked right in the middle of the restaurant. People knew him there. He said, "Sure." So I took a pen and I just read through Steps to Peace with God. You know, man has a problem. God has a remedy. Jesus is the solution. You have to receive him. And I underlined and I wrote little comments. And I'm just doing this totally from scratch. I mean, I'm just doing it, reading through and writing little notes. And I said, "Would you like to receive Jesus?" He said, "No." "That's okay. Would you like to take this with you and think about it?" He said, "Yes." About 4 years later, I was in Monterey, California, in a Billy Graham School of Evangelism with about 1,200 pastors and wives. And a young pastor came up to me and he said, "I know you." And I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." I forgot his wife's first name, but he said, "Mrs. Gebauer told me to say hi to you." I said, "Oh, wonderful." And she said, to tell you that Mike Gebauer would go, he left that little Steps Peace with God on his chest of drawers in his bedroom. And about once a week, he'd pull it off and flip through it. And he has come to Christ since then and is a vital part of my church. Isn't that wonderful? He told me no, but he took the gospel because it is the gospel that saves. It's just, you have to get yourself out of the way and say, "Look, my job is to get the gospel out. Period. If I don't get my testimony in, so be it, because testimonies don't save. It's the gospel that saves, the story of Jesus." And he was prophesied, he came, he lived, he died, but he was resurrected to overcome sin and death. He promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to get into that when you're sharing because the church can build on that one. He is coming again. You must receive him. So you can jump from the resurrection straight to receive him. You can weave in your life if you have time. But how in the world do I do this? Because I'm afraid to open my mouth. Psalm 81:10. "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, God says. So just trust God. I will fill it, God says. Well, how does God fill it? Well, memorize John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And just explain it the best you can, because it's the gospel that saves. Weave in your story. So you've listened to the person's story, which was your story. I want to hear it. I'm going to tell you my story. And I'm going to weave in his story. And the way I weave it in is just to take John 3:16 and explain it. And you don't even have to quote it. You don't have to use John 3:16. Just tell them what Jesus did. And God uses that. He was prophesied, came, lived, died, resurrected, promised the gift of the Holy Spirit's coming again. Best to memorize one verse, sure. Great to do that. I'm going to give you one other verse. If you've got a little piece of paper and a pencil, take your Bibles and just look at one verse with me. And I'm going to show you how to diagram this verse so fast. I've used this all kinds of places. Just go to Romans. It's a verse we use all the time in witnessing. 6:23. Go back up to 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which is the gospel, to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness, truth. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, you know, pornography, prostitution, addiction, as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And that's a growth. That's you grow it in your you grow in holiness your whole life. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Your holiness comes from Jesus. He can make it pure, but he also grows it in you in your flesh. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, so that's the gospel. And if I have time with someone, you got a piece of paper, it could be back of an envelope, a napkin. I just memorize this one verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave this piece of paper with them. So I write it out. I print it because if I write it, they can't read it. Romans 6:23. And I write the verse down so they can look it up. So all I do is just draw a line and talk about life. Okay, in the beginning, there was man. And first before him was God. Let me draw it back. God, in the beginning, and man. All right. And all I do is just take this verse and say, the Bible says the wages of sin, big words, the big words, wages of sin is death. But, and but's important, because but changes the thought. But the gift of God under it, is eternal life. So all I've done is just taken that verse, taken the big words, and I'm just going to say, now look at the difference. Here's man, wage, sin, death. Here's God, gift from him is eternal life. Now, the Bible says that we've sinned. When we sin, sin makes a chasm or a valley between us and God, and it keeps us from God. So we're trying to get from man to God, but we can't, because God cannot have sin in his midst. God wants to give us a gift. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a wage, or would you rather have a gift? A wage is something you work for. A gift is something that's free. People go, I'd rather have a gift. Okay, thanks. Would you rather have sin in your life, or would you rather have God in your life? Well, I'd rather have God in my life. Okay, thanks. Would you rather be dead, or would you rather be alive? It's got to be an idiot that says death. No, I'd rather be alive. Okay, so the question is, how do you get from this side, wages, sin, death, to this side, God, gift of God, eternal life? It's simple. You need a bridge. This is called the bridge to life illustration. I think the Navigators came up with it, the Navigator Ministry years ago. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you can talk about lordship, meaning you give your life to him, you receive him as Lord and Savior, he saves you. If you remember John 3:16, you could quote it and stick it here too. So you could use one verse or two verses. I mean, that's what I do. And I just leave the piece of paper with them if they don't come to Christ and say, would you please review this? Because if you are working for a wage at the end of 2 weeks, a month, a week, you get a check. How would you like to work your whole life and get the wage of death? Oh, no, that's not very good. Would you not rather get God's loving gift of life? Yes. Well, that's where Christ comes in, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then, if I can just take this chasm and box it in and go over here and box this in, that becomes the cross. And the cross, Jesus Christ was prophesied. He came, he lived, he died on the cross. He was resurrected, and he's coming again. So the real bridge is Jesus on the cross, killing death, killing sin. God resurrected him in his power. He changed my life. Here's my testimony, blah, 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 blah. You can have a testimony different than mine, but the same as mine, because Jesus is the one who saves. So gospel, testimony, the truth, an opportunity to receive Christ. It's very, very simple. This is how you can stand tall. You can say, look, I don't know how to share my faith. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Your story. Tell me about you. Do you mind if I tell you about me? Well, the real story of me is him, with capital H. Have you got a minute? I can draw this out for you on a napkin. First time I ever did this, I thought, I'm going to mess this up so badly. But I didn't, because everything's right here in the verse. Wage, sin, death. Sin goes there. Gift of God, eternal life. So how do I get from here, man, to here, God? Through Jesus Christ. He saves me. And he takes me across the bridge. This has happened to me. Let me tell you how it happened to me. Would you like that to happen to you? Would you like to pray now? Is that easy? All of us. Unless you're just fearless. And some people are. All of us don't want to be rejected. There's a fear of someone saying, I don't like what you said and I don't like you. Well, look, I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I'm here for Jesus. Forgive me if I didn't say this right. I mean, sometimes I start off like this. I'm not very good at this, but I know Jesus has changed my life. He's kept me. Can I just share it with you? And all I'm trying to do is to get out the what? The gospel, because it's not a diagram that saves. It's not Tom's story that saves. It's the truth of Jesus Christ that some way goes into the human heart, jerks that heart around, and brings it to God when the person says, I'm a sinner. I repent. I confess. And God saves us. So when you go out of here, remember the Holy Spirit is doing something brand new in the world today. God promised us, last days, I'll do something new. What is the new? I'm pouring out my Spirit. Count on it. So you don't have to go into a conversation with someone that maybe has not liked you, but you've started loving them in spite of it. Or someone who loves you, but they don't need God. My brother-in-law, Art Bailey, directed the last crusade for Billy Graham, New York City. He just directed a crusade in Binghamton, New York, for Billy and Franklin. My brother-in-law was one of the nicest guys in the world. I mean, he just was a great salesman. He just said the right things. He was as lost as he could be. He didn't know Jesus. He joined the church when he was 12 years old. Everybody in the South joins the church. He didn't know Jesus. I wept over that man. Only man I've ever wept over. Wept over that boy. And one day he called me. Tom, I met Jesus today. He knew I was weeping over him, but he wouldn't receive it from me, I thought. But I had maybe been the 12th or the 8th or the 9th, whatever, talking to him. A 72-year-old, ex-Golden Gloves, bantamweight boxer. This guy was tiny. He was a feather. He had a nose that looked like this. He led my brother-in-law to Christ just by telling him what Jesus had done in his life, but telling him the truth. You can do this so simply. And I just want you to leave here believing, number one, God's going before you. Number two, as you pray, he'll guide you to the people ready for you. And then you can just be yourself and tell the story of Jesus. Amen.